It's July 31st, 2009. I'm Mike Benedetti. This is 508, the show about Worcester. Today we're in Elm Park with Brenna Cousin. How's it going?
Very well, thanks.
And Brendan Mellican.
Morning.
Good morning. And there's a public art exhibit this summer, as there has been in the past here at Elm Park. What do you think of this, Brenna?
The public art exhibit or this one in general?
This.
It's not my favorite piece of art. I generally enjoy art that's either pleasing to the eye or communicates a message, and I don't really think this does either for me.
There it is. All right. Well, let's walk around and see what else is here.
It's been kind of a rough week in Worcester. There's been some really horrible news. There was one case of a woman being killed last week and having her baby cut out of her, the baby miraculously surviving. There was another case where apparently two young adults were accused of more or less kidnapping and raping a young girl and taking photographs of this, boyfriend and girlfriend. Sort of horrible stuff. I don't know that we have a lot of comments about these stories.
They speak for themselves to a certain degree. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was sort of interesting this week seeing like what the columnist in the Telegram and Gazette did. Telegram and Gazette doing a great job covering these stories. The columnists, who I guess are sort of, you know, information workers on top of information workers, right? They're adding value to stories where the value has been added by other people. And that final link in the chain, not actually adding any value this week. Kind of disappointing, but some good journalism on the first level there. So here's Elm Park, designed by Frederick Law Olmsted.
I believe that's right. Yeah,
the creators of Central Park. Here are our non-migratory geese friends. Didn't they used to rent dogs to try to drive these geese out?
A couple summers we had rented at least one dog, and I don't know that we're still doing that. If we are, he maybe has befriended the geese and would rather just hang out with them, because they don't seem to be going anywhere. But yeah, those are our geese. And they are Canada geese, not Canadian geese. Canadian geese would somehow signify that they have citizenship, and they do not. They are actually U.S. citizens, so they're just Canada geese. It's a common mistake. People call them Canadian geese.
There you go. And here is the here's this pond here. And there's a sign. Let me go get this sign. Hold on. I'm going to take a picture of the sign. These waters have been chemically treated to control the growth of nuisance aquatic vegetation and algae.
That's great. With you running across the park, that's going to be the exact moment in time when all the Channel 13 viewers just start vomiting uncontrollably all over their couches watching your camera bouncing up and down.
Yes, this week we may be back on Channel 13. There will be no swearing and the show will be short. There's some sort of horrible invasive aquatic vegetation really hitting the waters hard this year.
I'm sure there's plenty of theories on where it comes from. I'm kind of the mindset similar to a lot of the fish that are in here. If you look closely at the pond, you'll oftentimes see a lot of goldfish and like small koi and whatnot. I think one of the bigger problems we've always had with this pond is residents who don't realize that if you've got like a water feature in your yard, if you get sick of it, you can't just take that stuff and dump it into a pond and expect it to flourish.
Or dump it into the storm drain and let it drain into the pond.
Exactly, whatever the case may be. Yeah, we've been fortunate enough where we don't have like alligators and whatnot around here from people dumping those off, but the plants seem to have gotten out of control, especially on the other side. When we get over there, you can see they're actually starting to choke off a lot of the water.
Yeah.
Do we have any idea what chemicals they're putting in here?
The sign has no information. Basically, we're allowed to now boat fish and swim. According to this, because it's after the 28th, we're not allowed to water livestock.
Yeah.
Well, so there you go.
That's pretty amazing, though, that there's, a 3-day difference between the timing when it's safe to go boating and the safety.
Here's when you can swim in it. Here's when you can use it as irrigation or drinking and cooking water. Hey, I didn't realize. That's awesome.
Yeah, it'd be like if you had like a big container of bleach right on one. It takes only 3 days before you can leave it on the counter 3 days. You can drink it, apparently.
Yeah. Well,
perfectly safe.
I'm gonna actually do a little bit of work and possibly call someone on the phone and find out about these invasive plants, because I don't think I've seen anything in the papers about what the story is. Here's another piece of artwork.
Saturn.
There's recycled tools. Now that's useful.
It's actually really cool.
Because they...
Wait, what is this made out of?
It's made out of recycled tools and farm items and doorknobs. So I feel like this is I know what it is. It's the planet Saturn. And it was a way to recycle material. So I'm in favor of this piece of art.
In the limited amount of time we have here, we should see if we can identify any objects in this sculpture that would actually be illegal to possess within city limits.
Well, this any, like, really here's blades. A blade. Here's a blade that's longer than 3 inches.
Yeah.
Here is this a die? I don't always forget my screw making tools. Some of these I recognize and don't know the names of. This is kind of a cool looking one here. Speaking of farm implements, Brenna. You're like one of the co-organizers of this year's Christianity and Anarchism conference, right?
Mm-hmm. Which,
that's coming up in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it has not much to do with the farm items, but it is. It's August 14th and 15th in Memphis, Tennessee. It's our 7th annual conference. It's the first time it's been held in the South. And this year the theme is New Heaven, New Earth, Christianity and Anarchism Beyond Empire.
Who are the people who show up for the Christianity and Anarchism Conference?
I'd say a good third, if not more, of the people who show up to the conference are Catholic workers, because Catholic workers have been practicing both Christianity and anarchism for the last 76 years pretty consistently. So a lot of us show up. Then other folks are people part of the new monastics movement, people who are Christians, not necessarily belonging to any denomination, but who have tried to relocate themselves in what they call abandoned places of empire. So they'll relocate themselves, say, in an extremely poor area of the city to try to build, build community with the poor people around them, try to reclaim abandoned lots for garden space. Then a lot of people who come, some people who are anarchists who are interested in what Christians think about anarchism, they might be just kind of wanderers, hobos, folks who ride the rails. Then there are other Christians who are they're kind of sick of the political system as it is, and they're kind of interested in, well, what are alternatives, so they come to just check us out. So, yeah, a wide variety. About 120 people are registered right now, which is the most we've ever had.
So good deal.
It's a good sign that people want change.
Awesome. Well, let's wander over here, find our co-host. What do you see there?
I was just looking at the fish.
All right.
That one could be a little dicey to get out to. It looks like it's almost landlocked at this point. You get to trudge through the swamp there.
Yeah. Yeah, because of all the water, you can see that the...
The rains have done a number this year. It seems like every year the erosion and the actual plan of the pan of the pond itself seems to grow a little bit. This time, this year in particular, with all the rain, it's just gotten so swampy that we're almost abutting the actual path itself. I figure it's only a matter of time, too, before Park Ave just disappears. Seems like every year the pond gets a little bit closer to Park Ave. That'll be interesting, the day that Park Ave...
It's partially underwater.
Just end up in the middle of the pond.
There's a number of festivals coming up. Should mention this as we walk over to... this is not a bad piece of art over here. Maybe we should look at that. A number of festivals coming up. African festivals tomorrow. On August 9th, they're doing art in the parking lot, which is going to be in the parking lot of the sole proprietor over behind me on Highland Street. And they're going to do like a small art fest there. And then on the 14th of August, they're doing a reprise of Hang Your Creative Laundry over another corner of this park. This is a thing where people come out and spend a day making small pieces of art, tapestries and prints, and then hang them up on an artistic clothesline. Everyone comes down and has a good time.
Creative use of sod. I'm not sure if that's part of an installation down there, but it's...
Maybe it's art.
It could be.
A piece of art.
I always like the art around here that's kind of like landscapey. This is like landscapey. Yeah. These are cool. Solar. I actually have a photo of these from a couple weeks ago. I'll have to put it up on the web and see if...
How are they growing?
I don't know. Yeah, we'll compare. You compare this to whatever is on the website. And they have like a little solar lamp here, solar cell. The ivy is growing up the lattice, and I don't know, like a little bench area or a step up area.
Very nice.
Yeah, this is not a bad piece.
It's very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
And green.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Brendan, about the city council and school committee races. We sort of committed to not really talking about this too much until August, and that's tomorrow. But people have had to file, people's signatures and whatever have been turned in. We know who's actually legitimately allowed to run. Mm-hmm. Many fewer people than the last time.
Yeah, no primaries this year.
Yeah, there's no preliminary election. And I think that, you know, this council, for example, voted themselves a hefty pay raise. And one of the arguments, one of the hilariously self-insulting arguments was, well, we won't just have a bunch of bozos running if we make the salary higher.
Yeah, that worked real well.
This didn't actually work.
It looks as though I think the mayoral race will be the only, if that's even worth watching, will be the only race worth watching and discussing. Mostly because there are some pretty interesting personalities involved. All four of the people who thus far have announced their candidacy for mayor, Joe Bryan, Connie Lukes, Kay Toomey, and Gary Rosen, just all have big and interesting personalities, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. As for the other races, I mean, unless there is a knife fight or hand grenades involved with the race itself, I don't think it's going to be that exciting. Mm-hmm. Even the newcomers don't seem to have very large voices. I haven't really heard a lot thus far from, you know, what anyone plans to do or do differently. Another political cycle in Worcester kind of fizzles out, it seems.
Oh, look at this behind you here. Now, I was told that some of the artists actually had trouble placing. First of all, you can tell where the old border here was and where it is now.
Standing used to be where these were. These curb stones have been here for a number of years now, and every year they get further and further into the pond.
And we can see, I heard that they had trouble placing some of these artworks out here because, here it is. We are the first media outlet possibly to acknowledge this stuff. This invasive floaty plant.
You know, I don't know the name of it, Mike.
Hold on, we can't pick you up. The mic's directional.
I don't know the name of this stuff, but as I mentioned to you earlier, I mean, that if I'm not mistaken, this is a plant that is really common for people to get a hold of to put in their water features in their backyard and whatnot, just because it floats, it doesn't root, and you know the fish will feed off of it. But it also grows like rabbits, the way it reproduces.
Right.
And this is what happens. If I'm not mistaken, whatever this is, though, and I'm only recognizing it from eye, is, you know, well, like the signs indicate, not native to Massachusetts and illegal to import. Yet oftentimes you can still find the stuff at local garden supply stores that sell plants and animals for water features.
I'm going to hope that because it's safe for me to swim in it, it's safe for me to have it on my hand.
Yeah, you can eat and drink that within 2 days.
And then canoe.
I'm actually, you know what though, I mean, I didn't realize it had no root system, at least this part. So it seems like you could just kind of rake it out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the problems with the pond, if we had the resources and the time and the money to take care of it, could be taken care of with either a deep or surface sort of dredging to pull
right.
Everything out of here.
This, what I understand, is that the dredging would just be expensive for right. What we can do these days. This is a nice piece of work here. That's really beautiful. I want to credit the artist real quick on this. Awesome.
This is with the curbstones, though. That's a great example of what people who live in coastal areas realize, and that's you can't keep water back by building it out. You watch a hurricane come in, you know, you see what happens to New Orleans. This is not too dissimilar. Stone does not stop erosion.
We need dikes. We need sandbags.
We need to bring in the Army Corps of Engineers to rebuild the entire pond.
We need a dam.
Keep us safe. Less Park Ave sink into the sea.
As we want it, we definitely. Oh, here's another. Oh, this has like an animation. Check it out. Can we get the animation in here?
Yeah, look at that.
No. No, I don't think that this camera has the resolution to pick up this animation. Oh, it really looks awesome, though. Oh my goodness. Well, this is a reason that you have to come here in person, people. As we wander over to the next piece of art, I wanted to ask Brenna, You're going to be doing like a presentation at the conference about Christianity and anarchism?
Yes.
What's your 30-second explanation of... Why don't you walk on this side so there's less traffic noise? What's your 30-second explanation of what is the deal with Christian anarchists? How can they be anarchists?
Well,
they're supposed to love the flag. It's in the Bible.
Well, Christians, we believe God is our ultimate authority, and the nation state, just basically by its definition, it's supposed to protect its citizens, and it fails to live up to the gospel commandment to love your enemy, because it often will jail the enemy or kill the enemy, and not forgive. We're also called to forgive 70 times 7, and you don't do that in a nation state. And also, our particular nation state seems sort of obsessed with money and material goods, and as Christians, we're also called to live lives of sharing with our brothers and sisters. So that's why we'd like to form more decentralized communities where people can form more personal relationships, still be organized, but on a much more personal, small scale than the large nation states.
Excellent. That's an excellent short presentation.
Thanks.
Speaking of anarchism, smoking a cigarette.
Hey, look at this thing over here. Probably get a better shot of this installation further away.
Yeah, actually, let's walk up to it and see what this is. You think that this is just a pine tree. This is awesome. So they just built this box. They just built this box around this leaning tree. And this is this tree has been here, right?
I don't know.
I this tree seems very familiar to me. Let's verify this is not a fake.
No, it's sappy and everything.
If it's fake, it involves actual pine sap.
This is a Hollywood tree.
And this is actual sod on an actual box. And it's just cool. This is exactly
what I like to see, which is like just people using the environment of the park to do a piece of art. In this case, taking an awesome tree and saying, let's highlight the awesomeness of this awesome tree by putting a little box at the base.
And if this was left here, it would actually fit into the park nicely as long as it was maintained. Yeah.
And why don't we head over to this really crazy thing around here? To that van. Whatever's the best way to get to that van. Last year there was one piece of art stolen.
Did we ever recover that piece of art?
I never heard anything about it being recovered. Hmm. But there was a... Do you know about this, Brenna?
I do not.
There was a sculpture, and I have to say, from what I could tell examining the area, the sculpture was irresponsibly attached to its base. Like they attempted to epoxy fiberglass to wood, which doesn't really work.
I think it actually says like right on the container of liquid nails, so like you can glue anything to anything except fiberglass to wood.
No, I think it just says like if you're like glue like things to each other, and if you need to attach fiberglass to wood, use like a friggin' bolt or something. Use a screw and then put glue over the top of the head.
Chemistry is not your solution to mixed
but
materials.
Anyway, yeah. It was a Maasai warrior. It was a very nice piece, and it was not certainly no justification for it being getting ripped off, and it was stolen. Apparently it sort of looked metallic, and the theory was that somebody was stealing it because it was metal. It was actually like maybe a thin coat of metal over this fiberglass statue. So I don't think it was recovered that I know of. But I sort of like here's another one. These lawn chairs used to make a really cool, or I shouldn't say really cool, but at least a creative piece of art.
I don't dislike this, but the problem is that it wouldn't be totally out of the realm of possibility to just see a bunch of lawn chairs that someone threw into the pond floating around.
Right.
So it's almost like we could be encouraging.
These could have been scavenged. Well, that's what I look at this and I think this is the kind of thing that in West Virginia you might see in somebody's yard.
Right.
Who's a little bit creative and is like, I have a bunch of trash in my yard.
And I would not be totally shocked to find that by the end of the summer you have Worcester residents come down to steal the chairs to use to block their parking spaces up from Worcester. So the person actually gets it then.
This piece of art is actually created by my friend Sue Champagny, who is doing the amazing Hanger Creative Laundry thing here. So, Sue, I hope you all feel bad that we're not 100% excited by this, although it is a pretty creative use of chairs.
It's floating, though, right? I mean, so in theory, this could just drift out?
Cable ties, bolts, and rebar. I don't know if it's floating, if these are actual pontoons, or it's... I bet you it's countersunk. Now, you were a part of the... I bet you they don't let people have stealable stuff.
What's that?
I bet you that they no longer let people have stealable stuff as a matter of policy, like floating art.
Well, you would hope so. I mean, that was an unfortunate lesson learned last year, that there's always going to be someone who's going to muck up the works, but you can't let that be the thing that's going to stop us from doing something that really is pretty great and a much needed and welcome addition to any of the parks that we have in the city, but especially Elm Park, where you come down here on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, the place is just loaded with kids and their families. To be able to introduce someone to something that is creative without trying to convince them to get into a museum is actually, a really nice first step to introduce especially young people to the creative universe, so to speak.
Now, you were a cultural commissioner last year, around about the time that last year's event was being put together, which is, I guess, the first time they had done art in the park.
You're gonna have to go.
Bye, Brenna.
Pleasure
meeting you. I was on the cultural commission while they were planning this event. I was done by the time the event really got rolled out, but I was there during all the planning stages for the first one last year. That's excellent.
Giant toaster built into a minivan. What is this, a minibus? What is this?
I think it's a Volkswagen.
It's a Volkswagen bus.
I wonder if it's still functional. It looks like it could be. Really nice toaster.
So what are your thoughts vis-a-vis the Cultural Commission in this thing?
And I think they've done an excellent job. I mean, one of the problems that the Cultural Commission has always had has been limited funding. And to try and take their limited funds and spread them across the city is never an easy thing to do because there's always plenty of people looking for funds. When the idea, and I think it was Gloria Hall at the time who came up with the idea to do this as a temporary installation throughout the summer through Urban Arts, it just seemed like the right way to go, where you're giving something directly back to the city. You're not trying to identify the different groups and events that may or may not be well attended by the largest number of people in the city. This is something that's out here for everybody and just really seems to make sense. I think it heads in the right direction for the Cultural Commission, again, to make use of limited funds.
This is another piece by Sue Champagny, and this is called Red Totems. These are, bowls and plates, plastic bowls and plates on posts. This is actually, last year when they did the Hang Your Creative Laundry event, the first part was that they constructed these kind of things temporarily. They didn't glue things together or anything like that, and then they put out the lines between them, and then people hang the artworks they've made on those lines. This year it looks like as an actual permanent part of the exhibit, Sue has made these things, and I think it's kind of cool. I think it'll save an hour of work in the morning on hanging your creative laundry for this summer.
Yeah, and it looks great from the street in the sense that they look like spindles from... They look like actual wooden spindles when you're driving by. You don't realize that they're solo plates and cups until you get close enough.
Yeah. Brendan was commenting on that these are actually something that like a kid on a bike could easily knock over on purpose or on accident, but I know from watching it that they could basically rebuild one of these in about 10 minutes.
Just a quick stop at the Price Chopper next door, and we're back in business.
There's Price Chopper. Well, hey, Brendan, thanks for coming out to here. This is this is a summer public art thing here at Elm Park. Totally worth coming out and checking out if you haven't been down to the park in a while. If you know anything about these aquatic invasive species, contact us at pieandcoffee@gmail.com. Also, if you're a challenger for the city council and the school committee races, we would love to have you on this podcast. I don't know how many challenges we're actually going to end up getting, but it's something to shoot for.
Specifically, if you're willing to start a knife fight with one of the challengers, do that on this show. That would be excellent.
There you go. Well, I'm Mike Benedetti, and this is some interesting fungi. Let's look at this fungi quickly. By the way, this is what you don't get on any other show in Worcester Media,
fungus.
A fungi moment. We'll leave you with these fungi as we sign off from 508. We'll see you guys next week. Greetings, audio-only listeners. Do you love IKEA like I love IKEA? Then I have a deal for you. Back in the late 90s, my friend Pete Peterson gave me this glass IKEA coffee table, which he had bought at the Copenhagen IKEA back in the late 80s and used all through his wild Scandinavian college parties, I guess. And I used this coffee table for 3 or 4 years and then passed it on to a friend of mine. And now he is moving from New York City to the West Coast. So if you are around New York City and you would like a coffee table from the golden age of IKEA, a small coffee table, it's basically a square of tempered glass sitting on top of two V-shaped pieces of white wood, very space age looking even today. If you would like this, pieandcoffee@gmail.com. Partially I'm presenting this message because I would love to see this coffee table go to someone who would really treasure it and plan to pass it on to someone in another 5 or 10 years, and partially because I would like to have the excuse to play Jonathan Coulton's beautiful song, IKEA.
Long ago in days of yore, it all began with a god named Thor. There were Vikings and boats and some plans for a furniture store. Not a bodega, it's not a mall. This hill thanks for apartments smaller than mine, as if there were apartments smaller than mine. IKEA,
IKEA.
Just some oak and some pine and a handful of Norsemen. IKEA,
IKEA.
Selling furniture for college kids and divorced men. Everyone has a home, but if you don't have a home, you can buy one there. Cash down and put your trust in the land where the furniture folds to a much smaller size. Billy the bookcase says hello. So does the table, his name is Ingo. And the chair is a ladder-back birch, but his friends call him Carl. IKEA,
IKEA.
Just some oak and some pine and a handful of Norsemen. IKEA,
IKEA.
Selling furniture for kids and a divorced man. Everyone has a home, but if you don't have a home, you can buy one there. IKEA, plywood, brushed steel. IKEA, meatballs tasty. IKEA, Allen wrenches. $60 and a chair and a lamp and a shelf and some candles for you. I was a doubter just like you till I saw the American dream come true. In New Jersey, they got a goddamn Swedish parade. IKEA,
IKEA.
Just some oak and some pine and a handful of Norsemen. IKEA,
IKEA.
Selling furniture for college kids and divorced.